revival for, and how it started, how we must start, because we have to go to the Word of God. It's nothing that mankind can muster up on his own strength or our own ideas. It is the Word of God in 2 Chronicles 28 and 29. Last week I talked about old-fashioned salvation. And you don't hear much about old-fashioned salvation. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because a lot of churches today, the upbeat so upbeat that they omit the bad part of it. You cannot understand or accept the good news of the gospel until you understand and accept the bad news, and that is that we all have sinned. Well, this old-fashioned sanctification is just like the old-fashioned salvation concerning this new year and revival. Kurt and Linda had someone to come with them last Sunday. I believe his name was Matt. Is that correct? And as I preached salvation, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he was a Catholic. I preached salvation. I didn't make it plain enough, probably. But after church was over, I stepped back by him, and he said, "I done what you said," and what he was talking about, that I said, "Bow your heads," and I led everybody in a sinner's prayer. He said, "I done that." But he said, "I've never been in a Baptist church before." He said, "I saw them on television, how people come down." But he said, "I didn't know what to do." And I told him what he needed to do, and we went through the plan of salvation again. He said, "I've done that." Now he's traveling back from his mother, I think, down in Florida, to maybe he might settle in Tennessee, don't know for sure. And he's kin to a lot of you. He's kin to the Saps and also the Sinclairs. Y'all know probably who I'm talking about. But he never heard the plain plan of salvation before. If he would have been in some of these update society Baptist churches today and other churches, he would have never come to know Jesus Christ. Salvation is old-fashioned, but I'm going to tell you, it's still solid today. We need some old-fashioned salvation. We need some old-fashioned sanctification. And when he comes back through, he said, "I want to be baptized. I'll come forward and I want to be baptized." And I said, "Then you can go anywhere you want to, but he'll carry the name of a Christian with him anyway." Never been in a Baptist church. Probably never heard it. Didn't know what to do. But he does now. Sanctification. Without sanctification, there will be no revival. 2 Chronicles 28:29 is example for us, an illustration, object lesson. It's about old Ahaz. Y'all remember old Jezebel and Ahaz in the Bible? The very, very wicked queen and a very, very wicked king, Ahaz, over the nation of God's people. Nearly about as wicked as what we got over our nation. Nearly about, not quite. But then when he died, and Hezekiah took over, and they started a revival. And if we'll have revival, it's going to have to be just exactly through the Word of God, as I got on the board before you. Just exactly is what we need. Revival. I certainly believe we need revival. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 23 through 25, talking about old Ahaz coming to the end of his rood and what he really done. And listen to what he done, because we need a revival so bad, and the situation that precedes it is the condition I do believe that our church is in. I believe the churches around us and across our nation, and also the condition that this United States is in, as a nation of Israel, just exactly what was happening in his day. And it says, "For Ahaz, he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and he said, Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them the foreign gods, the false gods, that they may help me." But, see, we sacrifice to our foreign gods and our false gods, but they were the ruin of him and to all the nation of the United States. Isn't that what it says? "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God." I'm having trouble with my... "And cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God." And here's something that's very important. Shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made him an altar to every corner of Jerusalem. In every city, single city of Judah, he made high places, a place to worship, burn incense to other gods, and provoke to anger the Lord God of his father, the God Jehovah. Let us pray. Father, we certainly need revival. How that we would pray this day that, Lord, that we know that you're ready to send a revival in our hearts, our life, our homes, our church, our nation. If we will do what he done, Hezekiah, and those people, God's people, your people in that day, the same thing needs to happen in my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, in my nation, if we'll pray that prayer and do what them people done, we can have revival also. Thank you, praise you for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen today. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, he has a people for his temple. Object lesson. In the Old Testament, we're talking here about a physical temple, a material building. In the New Testament, we're talking mostly about our body, but also could be this structure we know here as a church. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "But know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God?" Very careful, listen. You are not your own. You don't do what you want to do, you do what you ought to do. You are not your own. The background that I said, now Hezekiah, and that old mean king, we find out that his nation went down, 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 down under that old wicked king. Just like this nation, can you believe and understand that our nation is going down, 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 down? Wicked leadership and the wickedness in people's heart today, just like it was in the nation of Israel at that time. Under what we have done across America today, the very same thing. This is reading the news and hearing the news across our nation today as I'm reading the Word of God several hundred years ago. It's happening today. This is new right with us today as we see it. Verse 24, it says, "He shut up the house of the Lord, and he worshiped false gods." If there ever been a time in a nation that the United States, this is a picture of us today. This is a picture. Now he is talking about God's people. He's talking about Christians today. Not the other nations around the nation of Israel. He was a leader of God's people. Oh, Ahaz, shut up the house of the door of God, the temple, at that time. Our picture today of the United States today is the same thing of churches. Christian today have closed churches. A lot of them have only one service. They have nailed the doors of the church shut. But more serious than that, their own hearts have nailed the door shut to God. And it's talking about Christian people today. But as it come, though, Ahaz, he died. Now, I want you to look at the situation that precedes this revival that came across the nation of Israel at that time. As we see here today, it's not long for our revival services, but it can start today. This temple needs to be cleansed out. I mean, we really need a cleansing of the temple. Sunday night, the night we have the Lord's Supper, one of the greatest services could ever be conducted in the house of God, or to be the greatest number of people, of Christians, that ever poured out for any service, is to see what God's done for them. And it says, remember on this table. Start today. The house of God needs to be cleaned up, starting mostly all with this heart here, God's people. Well, what caused them to need a revival? The same thing that causes us today to need revival. They had a wrong king in charge of the temple. They had a wrong king over their nation. United States, you know what's wrong, the reason we need a revival? We got a wrong king. But not just over our nation, we have a wrong king over our temple. And this temple, the wrong king is self. Is self. Jesus needs to be over the throne of this temple. But self. Self. The wrong king. King self. King Ahaz turned to idolatry. Oh, you see, not me, but it was his ruin. He turned to the other gods of the nation around him. Could I ask you, have we turned to other gods around us? Could you honestly say that we have? And that's the reason the church is half full this morning. And like I said, it's talking to Christian people today. We're in charge of the temple. Remember, the temple is you, and it's been bought, and you're not your own, but we're in charge of this temple. We're just as guilty as old main king Ahaz, including myself. He turned to the gods of Assyria. We have turned this nation to the false gods of this country, the gods that we think is going to help us. He said, I turn to them, they may help me, but they was the ruin of him. And the same thing is happening to us today, as personal and also to our church and also to the nation around us. We turn to the gods of abortion. I mean, the money-making job of abortion. Listen, 2 Chronicles 28 and 3, King Ahaz, here's what happened to him. Verse 3, moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire. His own children. That's abortion. After the abomination of the heathens whom the God had cast out before the children of Israel. God, get rid of this. You wonder? God was mad at him. What you think God is today of our nation today? Revival. Do we turn to idolatry today? List some things in our life. Anything that you love more than Jesus Christ is idolatry in your life. He had closed up the doors of the house of the Lord. Pleasant Hill, when we leave here this morning, I thought about getting a bunch of boards, some nails, when we leave and go out the doors this morning. And I thought I'd ask if anybody would help me nail these doors up the Pleasant Hill till next Sunday morning. And let people pass by this road and see some old boards across our doors, because it won't be open. Israel was in a mess. Our nation is in a mess. Our lives and families is in a mess. The situation that preceded this revival, the doors are nailed shut. Can you picture that? But you see, the second thing, the start that precipitated it. They have to be a starting point. And do you know the best way to get a job done is to get it started? We're starting this morning. We're starting this morning. That's the best way to get a job done across our nation. 2 Chronicles 29, 1, 2, and 3. As we think about this now, 1, 2, and 3. Moreover, No, Hezekiah, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, you remember old Hezekiah died now. Ahaz had died. Hezekiah takes over now. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned, and he reigned there for 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, and his daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right now in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, the first month of a new church year, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Where we go any further or not this morning, that's revival. The closed doors is what's wrong with us, and the open doors of the church, of the temple. Start opening doors of the house of God and he repaired them. The doors, when we meet, regardless of whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, or whatever other time that we meet, open up the doors because we need revival. Ahaz had nailed them closed. But we need the doors open. And you know, across America today, they will not open up. Doors will not open up. People's hearts will not open up. You will not open up the temple of your heart so many times. They will not. We are afraid to open up our hearts and let the wind of the Holy Spirit of God blow across our lives. We will not open up today. You need to open up your temple. The sermons, it's so hard to preach to people today because it runs off their back like water off a duck's back. No intention of changing, just hearing it, but no intention to let the Word of God change us. Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do?" He started living for the Lord. Open up. God is ready, but he will not force a revival on Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. He will not force a revival in your life nor your family life. Revelation chapter 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I'm waiting for that to open that door because he's knocking today. I'm going to tell you what, he's knocking on Pleasant Hill for revival. I'm telling you, God wants to send a revival in your heart. Families are in a turmoil and a mess today, even Christians in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and other families. I'm telling you, they're in a mess, and Jesus Christ is doing that on your heart's door. But he will not force revival on anybody. He won't force revival on this church. The sanctification that prepared it to come. We must have sanctification in verse 4 and 5. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself and sanctify the house of the Lord your God, for your fathers carried forth the filthiness, the rubble out of the holy place." The priest and Levi, sanctify yourself and then sanctify the house of the God. They was the leaders. They was the deacons. They was the Sunday school teachers. They was the choir members. They was the ushers. How in the world can we lead a Sunday school class? How can you lead as a deacon when you don't come? When you don't serve? Sing. Whatever the job may be, your position. You first of all, it said they had to clean yourself before we can ever start helping someone else. That's what the Word of God says. Leading our children, mothers and fathers, how in the world can you lead your children when you won't be here yourself? Preacher, you ought not to say that. You might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to think about Jesus Christ's feelings. Where are you at? Where is the people at for their children to see the necessity to be here at the house of God on Wednesday and any other time that God's people meets? Also, he jumped down to 29:16. And the priest went into the inner parts of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And he brought out all the uncleanness they found in the temple of the Lord, into the courts of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it, carried it out abroad into the brook Kishron. You know what that tells me? There's some uncleanness in this temple. Are there any uncleanness in your temple? Are there any uncleanness in your temple? Well, they found this uncleanness, and I tell you, I don't have to look very hard before I can find some in this temple. They found this, and they carried it out. And then they put all this uncleanness and this rubble, and they put it in the brook Kishron. Now, that means they opened this door and they cleaned it out, and they carried this out to brook Kishron. Now, this means something if you think about it. Do you remember when Jesus Christ in the Word of God at Passover, they had arrested him. They was going there to discourage him. And when he stepped over, they said across the brook of Kishron. That's a little brook that comes out of the Jerusalem, comes out of the sheep gate where they carry those hundreds of sheep in and kill them. At that time, probably the brook, whenever Jesus Christ crossed it, they was already killing those sheep for the sacrifice. And that brook probably was running red with blood, but the water was cleansing that blood and carried it all the way. They took the garbage. It was in the temple. The filthiness was in the temple. But what did they do? What you going to do with this garbage that's in our temple? You carry it to book Kishron, and the blood washes the sins away. After they found this filthiness, it's got to be washed away. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They put those sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it represented when they put it in the brook Kishron. They dumped it. Wednesday night, we talked about this several months ago at the tabernacle. I know that you was all here because you understand it, don't you? The outer court of the tabernacle, the outer court is the body, this outside body that we see. The inner court that you cannot see is the soul. But the holies of holy is where the Spirit of God dwells in every one of our beings. And that's where we need and have need God to do the work, is the inner soul of mankind. Because y'all look pretty spiritual this morning. On Sunday morning, here today, thank you for being here. You look real good, the outer man, the outer court, the souls, the giving, but I cannot see the innermost part. And that's the part where God needs to do the most work at, is right in here, to each and every one of us today. Old Ray sings that song, There's Room in My Heart That Even I Wouldn't Go. I think that's what he says. You see, there's room in your heart that you don't want God to go. There's room in your heart that you don't want God to go into. It may be your commitment on Wednesday night. It may be your commitment on Sunday school. It might be whatever it might be. It might be your giving or whatever. I don't know. That's God's business, and it's certainly not my business. But it's got to be sanctified. Open the doors and cleanse the house. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And did you know what your standard is? It's not a preacher. And your standards are not the deacons. Do you know what your standard is this morning? Jesus Christ. You know what God said about Jesus Christ and about you and me? We have all come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So, I come short. Do you come short? And between me and being what Jesus Christ is, that's a gap. You know what that gap is? It is sin. You come that close, but that gap is sin between us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that gap is a sin. And the filthiness is in our life. Well, now, it's not murder. I don't have to worry about that. That's not stealing. But you see, we're full of pride. Tell me that we're not full of materialism, because we'll seek that ahead of the things of God. Tell me that we don't love pleasure more than we love God. Tell me we don't have unbelief in our heart. Tell me that we're not lazy. Tell me that we don't love the recliner more than we love Jesus. Tell me that we're not cold-hearted. Tell me that we're not prayerless as we studied on Wednesday night. I know you was here for Wednesday night to hear that. These sins runs in our veins, and there's a gap between us and Jesus Christ. But now there's a sacrifice that provided it. The sacrifice that provided it. 2 Chronicles 20-24. Now listen to this. Now Hezekiah, the king, rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 he-goats for the sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctification of the sanctuary and for the Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, then they had killed the rams and sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king of the congregation and laid their hands upon him. Now remember the scapegoat? That's what they done. Y'all remember the scapegoat? Y'all was here. You don't understand that, don't you? Okay. And the priests killed them, and they made a reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel for the king commandment that the burnt offerings and the sin offerings should be made for all Israel. The repetition of 7, the perfect number, 777. And they carried the filth out. Now, after the filth were carried out, the sanctification of the temple needs to start. All right, you commit your sins. Have committed your sins. You need forgiveness of your sins. Now, here comes the sanctification of the temple. You need to be cleansed, forgive of the temple, forgiven for things that we have done. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Now, you see, there's no need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ unless you repent of your sins. That word confess, it means to agree with God. Confess our sins. Now you see, it don't mean admit that I have sinned. You can admit that you have sinned. That's not confessing your sins. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They just say, yeah, I've done this, yeah. But that's not it. You've got to agree with God what he says about that sin. What God says, confess. Say what God says. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. See, there need to be a sacrifice that provided this cleansing of the temple, your temple, my temple, for revival. And the singing that, you know, pronounced it in chapter 29. I think in verse 29, praise to God with all type of musical instrument. They were singing. Now verse 26 in that same chapter, as we see what he had really done. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with their trumpets, and Hezekiah commanded to offer up the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the singing of the song of the Lord began with all the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel, and all the congregation worshiped. And the singer sung, and the trumpet sounded, and all continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. I'm going to tell you, the singing that pronounced this revival. Singing will start when you're revived. Sin will stop, it will stop your singing, but revival will bring it back to you again. The church, we need to sing. I like that song in 469, Revive Us Again. We need to sing that song not just in the church, but we need to sing that song in our heart. And then when our doors are open, it's been nailed closed, when the cleansing is took out of this old temple here, when it's cleansed under the blood of Jesus Christ, and when forgiveness has come, and God's people can't help but sing, sing, sing. And that's what we need to do. Don't need to beg people to sing. The stewardship also that provided for this revival, verse 31 through 33. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of God. And the congregation brought sacrifices, thanks offerings, and as many as were of free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs, all these for a burnt offerings of the Lord. And they consecrated these things, 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. Listen to what he says. What he said. Boy, this stewardship that brings in revival. Thousands of animals they burnt. The people brought multitudes, and they burn them up today. They burn them up. You know what they'd say today? Why don't they take these animals? There's probably some hungry people there around Israel. Why didn't they take these animals and kill them and give them to those people? But they sacrifice and burn them up. They just burn them up. I was told personally, when we build this new church, this money could have been spent, and we didn't need a new church. This money could have been spent. There's a lot of poor people we could have helped. Let me tell you what that is. That is spiritual ignorance. That is spiritual ignorance. Tithes and offering. We have needs as all churches. We need a lot more than what people give, and we can do a lot more. We have needs to carry on God's work. But learn this about giving. If we had no needs, every need was met. We had an incinerator here in the front of the church. You would come down, open up that incinerator, was lit, and you'd put your money in that incinerator and it'd go up in smoke. You say, what a waste. No, it's not. Because what you're doing is, here's what you say when you put your money in that incinerator. This Jesus Christ is how much I love you. No matter what the money is used for, you're bringing it. Just like they did those sacrifices. They burnt those animals up. It was not a waste. And anything we give to God is not a waste, just like we built this building. We need to give. Here's how much I love you, Jesus. You know, when people love God like Hezekiah, he got the people, whenever people gets in revival, you know one thing? You won't have to beg them to give. Our tithes and offering ought to be four times what it is now. You won't have to beg them to give it. I tell you something else to do. When we do what God says to do, you won't have to beg people to come sing, Brother Orville. Am I telling the truth this morning? When you get right with God, you won't beg people to give. You won't have to beg people to sing. You won't have to beg people to come. You won't have to beg people to service. You won't have to beg people to worship when they get revived in their heart. The service that proceeds from it, verse 33 and verse 34. And he consecrated the thing were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flag all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brother the Levite did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites was more upright in heart, so sanctified themselves and the priests. Get this. The priest was too few. Did you know what you are a priest this morning? You know what other problem we have in our church? The priests are too few. The priests are too few. They needed workers. We just voted on our officers for the coming year. There were some blank places on some children. So I guess we're just going to throw them in and let them fend for themselves. There's some blank places that nobody wanted to sign their name. They used to come to church on Wednesday night. They used to teach kids. They used to sing, but they don't do it anymore. The priest was too few. Verse 35. And also the burnt offerings were in abundantly, with the fat of the peace offering and the drink offering, for every burnt offering to service of the house of the Lord was set in order. That means everybody filled a place at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church for the church to go on. There was no vacancies. There was no spot. There was no begging. Would you please do this next year? We need you so bad. Let somebody else do it. I've done my part. Too few. We need a revival. The workers are too few. Why? God has blessed us so much we have overrun with God's blessing today. No church ought not have to beg people to do anything. As I've said many times, I don't have to come Sunday night. I don't have to come Wednesday night. I don't have to come to Sunday school. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to give. I don't have to sing. I don't have to preach. As I said, you're altogether wrong when you put that word, I don't have to. You know what I get to do this morning? I got to. I get a chance to preach. You got a chance to come. You got a chance to sing. You got a chance to give. You got a chance to come to Sunday school. You get a chance to come back tonight, Wednesday night. You get to. Not that you got to, but you get to. We get to. The suddenness that presents it. In verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared for the people for the things that was done. Suddenly, Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, suddenly with a mighty rushing wind. God don't have to wait on things. He can do it suddenly. He can spur your heart right now, suddenly. This church can suddenly go into a revival state of a mode if we get right with God. Learn the lesson that we're not waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How much of God do you want? I can assure you one thing, you got all that you want. You got all that you want. How much of God do you want? We can get more of God if we want more. Draw nigh to me, and he'll draw nigh to you. Open the doors of your temple. Carry out the filth. Carry that book of Kishron. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash it away. Cleanse us. We begin to praise, tithe, sing, or whatever God has set for us to do. As Christians, remember, your money don't belong to you. Everything you have belongs to God. You know what the 10% is? 10% is just telling God that here's 10% that belongs. Everything else belongs to you. You know what? God don't want your money. God does not want your money. You know what God wants? Your heart. Let me tell you, non-tithers and non-givers, when God gets your heart, he'll have your money. When God gets your heart, he'll have your commitment to come to church. When God gets your heart, you'll have a revival. If we do what God says to do, say, well, that's tough, preacher. I tell you what, it needs to be tough. Because I tell you what, you're getting a secondhand sermon because you ought to heard it when God preached it to me. You ought to heard it when God preached it to me. I don't see no tears in a lot of people's eyes. They wasn't mine. When I opened the door and saw the filthiness and the uncleanness and the rubble in this temple. But I'm telling you one thing, God can cleanse it out. God can do things that's never been done before in this temple. In this church, whatever you want him to do, he's ready. Now, we come for a song of invitation. I'd like for her to come and just start playing, if you would, Miss Carmen. Miss Winnie like give away my secret. I'm going to consider these as rocks. They're not rocks. They're kind of like little glass. I don't know what they are, but they was remind me of that. Little rocks a little heavier. But you see, if you want a revival, there are no power in this whatsoever. But if you want revival in this church, your life, your family, or you know someone that you not, whatever it is, might be, I want you to come forward. And I'd like for you to come get one of these rocks. Now, men, you can put it in your pocket. Ladies, you can put it in your purse or in your refrigerator. Anywhere you want to, and all this will be doing, when you put your hand in your pocket, remind you that I need to pray for revival, for someone, for salvation, to help someone. If you'd like to do that, I'm going to set these right here. We're not going to sing. We're just going to ask you to stand up. She's plagued now. And if God has spoken to your heart, if you think we need a revival, and you think that we need to be reminded of that, you come get you one of these little old, what I call them, rocks. Like I said, there's no value whatsoever, no spiritual value in these rocks. You want to come and you pray here. God has spoken to your heart, I'm standing right here. It's for salvation. You know, if you want to be saved today, open up your door of your heart, because you've nailed it closed with a sin in your heart. You got some family members that you need to pray for. Like I said, here that is. It's just a reminder. How often that we need to be reminded of some people in our lives and our family members and our loved ones and our friends. And our church, how we need a revival in our church. Do you want to be saved today? God has spoken to your heart in so many ways. Say, boy, I tell you, that was a hard sermon for me. I'm going to tell you that. Because I didn't mean to step on anybody's toes. Because my aim's off a little bit. I meant to get your heart. It's our heart that needs cleansing. Let's sing that revival us again. Brother Jeremy, can you put that song revival us again on the board? I know I'm running long this morning. Suddenly. Praise thee, O Lord, for the Spirit.